soon. It was back when the country was strong. Back before Elvis, before that old Vietnam War came along. Before the Beatles and yesterday, when a man could still work and steal wood. It's the best of the free life behind us now. All the good times really old for good. I wish Coke was still cola, and the joint was a bad place to be. It was back before Nixon lied to us all on TV. Before microwave ovens, when a girl could still cook and chop wood. The best of the free life behind us now. The good times really old for good.
Sing it for me.
I'll be rolling down the hill like a snowball headed for hell. With no kind of transport, flag or the Liberty Bell.
Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is the Insurgent Radio Network, and this is Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy, right back here at my console in the bunker, right next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tabard and Steakhouse and Felon Station. And that's right next to our weapons of mass destruction used equipment yard. I've had some guys traveling all over the world trying to pick up some of those Ruski suitcase A-bombs, you know, to resell here in my weapons of mass destruction. But so far, I haven't gotten any hints at all. I wonder where they all went, huh? This is P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. That's where you send your donations for our activities and programs, and that's where you send your snail mail. Then go up to resist.com for our giant website where you can totally educate yourself on the issue of race, environment, money, economics, you name it, it's up there. That's right. Yeah. And if you have any questions or any problems that we can help you with, we'll contact our webmaster, merchandiseresist@yahoo.com. And by now, you all know that paid-up members, or paid-up, not members, but paid-up subscribers to the show get a special passcode each month, to where if you have a problem, you can go directly into the website and straighten it out. So that's pretty good. Now, if you're not paid up for January yet, well, you won't have one of those things. Or if you have paid up for January and you didn't get one, the password, well, let us know and we'll straighten it out. Well, I got started a little late this morning. I was doing some honeydew stuff around here, but I had a lot of email coming in and a lot of things that needed to be done. I had to write some letters to people that were wanting to know how to help Craig Cobb and Keenan up there in jail and things like that, and I had to scour the internet for more information. And I noticed that, like I told you yesterday, which was a foolhardy thing, that and of course Craig Cobb didn't have any control over it, in comes to the court is Jeff Shope, dragging his documentary National Geographic film crew with him. And I think I said that they had talked to me about going up there, and I thought I could sort of water things down a little bit and cool things off, but now I'm glad I didn't go up there, because I don't want to be videotaped on the same show as Mr. Shope. He's got an entirely different program. He's got a membership program. He's got a uniform program. He's got a flag program. He's got a march program, and that's not my program. But a lot of these media people keep thinking we're some alike, and we're very, very, very unlike. So I hope it didn't hurt Craig too much, because with all the film crews and everything coming into the courtroom, I don't know. It seemed to me like it wouldn't have been a good idea, but it happened. Also, I sent off some funds to Dennis Mahon today, and there's a book he was wanting, and I got him a book, and I ordered that for him. And let's see, I sent off a couple of books to a couple of other inmates, too. So anyhow, we're keeping that action going also. I haven't heard whether they rammed through that fast track on that TPP treaty legislation, that Pacific trade deal. And I've encouraged a lot of people they might pay to call in on it. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't do any good at all. Maybe they're just going to do what they're going to do anyhow. I called my congressman, and I didn't get shit out of them. They don't know. You call a congressman's office, the people that are there that's supposed to know what's going on to help out the electorate, they don't know what's going on. I called in Washington, they didn't know. Called the local, they didn't know. So what the hell? I said, well, look, they're going to try to ram that fast track through there real fast, and I want to know when. Oh, I never heard of it. I never heard of it. That's how that goes. Now, here's a trade deal that's going to affect us from here on out. They're trying to ram through. It's going to be horrible, and nobody seems to know or care, you know. So I guess we just have to hope for the collapse, or help assist in the collapse of the empire before we'll get anything done. I guess it's just too late to even do anything. Well, I believe I sent this out to you in print mode, but I'm going to read it to you. It's from Matt Hale. Actually, I think it's sent by his mother, Mrs. Hutchinson. It's entitled, "Okay, It's Okay to Hate Matt Hale." It's okay to hate Matt Hale because he's a racist. Don't hate him for a crime he never committed. It seems that nobody really cares to print the facts in this case. I know the facts. I was there for the entire trial. I am Matt Hale's mother. Those of you that read the articles on the trial are not getting all the true information. Much information is left out of the articles and makes for better reading. So most of you formed your opinions on a portion of the truth. Here are the true facts in the case. Matt was not enraged at Judge Lefko. She had ruled in his favor in a trademark case. Later, a high court ordered her to reverse her decision. 2. In the trial transcript, please read the trial's transcript if you have it. Nowhere did Matt order the government informant to go and kill Judge Lefko. In fact, several times Matt told the informant that he would not be a party to any such act. The prosecutor said in his closing statement that the government had evidence that Matt ordered a member of his organization to go out and kill and injure many people. There was not any such evidence, and Matt's attorney failed to object. By law, Matt, by law, had the legal right to be present for the entire jury selection. He was only present for 48% because his attorney decided Matt didn't need to be there. Because Matt wasn't there, selected as a juror was a man that worked at the Northwestern University with Ricky Birdsong, the man that Ben Smith, a former member of Matt's organization, killed. The jury was very prejudiced, just as many people that are reading this. Lack of knowledge may cause readers to form their opinions on incorrect information supplied to them, as has happened in this case. Matthew's attorney failed to call one witness from a long list of people waiting to testify on Matthew's behalf. Matthew wanted to testify. His attorney told Matt that he wasn't prepared to do that. Yeah, I had an attorney tell me that once too, and I said, no, I'm going to testify. And if I hadn't testified, I'd have been hung with a felony. The informant, Evola, a mentally challenged man, was paid $75,000 of your tax dollars to tape conversations with Matt and lie on the stand about a shaking of Matt's hand in agreement to killing the judge because they didn't have Matt on tape telling Evola to kill anyone. Matt wanted to take a polygraph at the time of his arrest. They declined that request. That's interesting. Recently, Matt has requested a polygraph, which was refused. You ask why? Because a polygraph would show Matt's innocence. Judge Moody sentenced Matt 40 years using the guidelines using sentencing as a terrorist. You see, that's how they're getting people nowadays. Well, let's see here. I got a phone call from Kynan Dutton's attorney, and I jumped on it. Let's see where I was at here. Matt wanted to take a polygraph at the time of his arrest. They declined that request recently. Matt has requested a polygraph, which was refused. You ask why? Because a polygraph would show Matt's innocence. Judge Moody sentenced Matt to 40 years using the guidelines used to sentence a terrorist, which Matt is not. Well, you see, they're charging people with that all over the country. They got Dennis Mahan with that, and they've gotten other people, and it's this automatic 40 years thing. And so they're going to use that more and more, terrorism, which is such a broad thing. You know, a guy went by my house the other day and, fuck you, Metzger, fuck you, Metzger. And I guess that's a form of terrorism. So maybe I could get him for 40 years. However, I wouldn't want anybody to do 40 years or any years just for not liking me. Okay, Matt's attorney failed to properly defend Matt and wanted to get the trial over with. He had another big trial he had to work on. Matt wasn't important to him. Well, it's too bad Matt didn't bring in another advisor attorney or get a civil rights attorney like maybe Jerry Pence or somebody like that. Matt's father died April 2013. Matt could not go to his funeral. I've only seen Matt once in 10 years, and that was through glass. This travesty has destroyed our family, especially me and Matt's father. I'm not asking you to like my son. It is okay to hate him for his beliefs. Don't hate him for asking a government informant to kill a judge. That never happened. Matt worked hard to go to college and law school, passed the bar, and refused his law license because of his beliefs. He went to law school because he wanted to practice law. He still believes in the law, even though all his appeals in the 10 years that he has been incarcerated have been denied. Gee, has it been that long? My opinion is that he won his appeals. Yes, I've read all of them. The government wants to keep him in solitary confinement for another 24 years. Oh, that's wonderful, our good Christian government here. I mean, who would want to keep anybody in solitary confinement for all those years? I believe the government knew Matt was not guilty of any of this crime. Well, of course they knew. this case was a sham from the very beginning. They just wanted to get him out of the way. And they're going to continue to do that to anybody they can. And they've tried it on me a few times, and so far I've been fortunate or clever or something. Someone in power must stand tall and do the right thing. Oh, yeah, some of them are on the right wing say, oh, he's gotten out of all these scrapes. He's got to be an agent. He's working with the Jews. You can't win. If you're smart, you're still bad, you know. Let my son come home. He has suffered enough for a crime he didn't commit. Okay, that's the end of that from Evelyn Hutchison, and you can reach her at Evelyn, EvelynHutchison, at sbcglobal.net. And she'd be glad to hear from you. And you should be sending postcards or letters all the time into Matt, because he can get them now. And the more they can try to convince him that nobody gives a damn, the more down he's going to get and just give up. And so let's keep a lot of letters, cards, birthday cards, you know, whatever cards going into him. Buy a stack of postcards at the post office and send him a note every week, you know. If you really care about these guys, do something about it. Don't just sit there on your ass. And you can send money direct to Ms. Hutchison, too. And I've got her address if you want to get in touch with me on that. I don't have it right here now. Or you can send it to me, and I can send it through the federal office there in Iowa. Sioux City, I believe it is. You know, I get these emails all the time from, most of the time, people I've never met. And they say they move from one city to the other. And could I give them contacts with people they could get together with? And sometimes it's skinhead, sometimes it's other. And that's the worst thing to do. And I keep telling them, if you go into a new area, stay aloof. Keep your mouth shut. Don't join any group, no matter how good it sounds. Stay as an individual lone wolf. And that is the number one question I get from people who say, well, I'm in a new town, I need to know a contact. Well, half the time these people are probably informants and just want some way to find out who's who. And the rest of the time is just ignorance. Well-meaning ignorance. So if you know anybody's moving into a town and they say, well, who can I get in touch with? Say, nobody. Just stay in touch with yourself. And don't talk in your sleep either. You see how that works with that 40-year thing? That's what they're going to use all along. So, like I said, they got Matt Hale, 40 years, under this terrorism thing. Now they're trying to get Craig Cobb on it. Terrorism, 40 years, you know? So this is going to be the game from here on in until they just decide to pick you up and shoot you in the head. Well, I see they're pushing this documentary big time called Facing Fear, put out this last year. And that's the one about Tim Zoll, who I used to know out in L.A., who was a punk rocker, and then he became a skinhead. And I'm not sure all the things he did do, but it's supposedly he and some guys waylaid a homosexual kid and beat him half to death. But he never served any time for it or anything like that. But this is the kind of stuff they try to hang on us. Now, Zoll knew very well the whole time I was around him, and that wasn't too much, that was not the way we operated, not the way I operated. But guys like Tim Zoll, they think they want to be a racist, but they don't really want to be a racist. They don't want to be a racial separatist. They want just an excuse to raise hell, drink, and fight and beat up people, which has not much to do with what we're into. Unless it's a defensive mode. So later he got into drugs. He may have been into drugs when I first met him, because I'm not that good a judge of people using drugs. But anyhow, now they've got him in this short documentary that teamed him up with this homo that he beat up years ago, and now they're supposed to be good buddies. Well, if I was a homo, I'd tell him to go to hell, you know. But this happens all the time, and of course, thousands of homosexuals over a year's time are attacked around the country. Yeah, they don't make much of a deal out of it unless they kill them. But one racial skinhead that way back, even when he was dressed as a punk rocker, he wasn't even involved with us when this happened. He had that spiked hairdo or something. And so he beats up, kicks a kid with his boots, you know. And so now they're making a big deal out of it. Now you can, they're talking about this over at popisms.com. And that's a populism, what's popular right now. So anyhow, you're going to see this promoted all over the television for months and months and months. Well, in Moscow, the Russian police arrested more than 300 right-wing extremists in Moscow Tuesday as they demonstrated in an unsanctioned march near the Kremlin, the Interfax agency reported. Well, I wonder what they were marching about. Maybe I can find out. It says here that they were marching, chanting Russia for Russians. Well, they could do a lot more good by putting it in action, working against immigration and things like that. They don't care if you march. In fact, in this case, they love it because they arrested them all. 300 of them. Now, what is gained? Unless you can put thousands of people on the street, and even then, if the ruling class doesn't want to pay any attention, they don't pay any attention. So like I tell everybody, Golden Dawn or whoever it is, guys, you're going about it the wrong way. And then they say, well, that Metzger, that old guy, he don't know what he's talking about. Well, anyhow, 300, if they have 300 committed white Russians, they could do a lot more good in other ways than marching around and getting arrested. You know, we used to think back in the 70s and even the 80s, that was the cat's meow to do that kind of stuff. But we gradually learned that it doesn't get you anywhere. In fact, it gets you less than anywhere, as these 300 guys are going to learn now that they're in jail. Turns out that they were marching on National Unity Day. But I'm sure that a good white nationalist or white separatist would find many reasons not to unify, even in Russia, because of the growing non-white influx into Russia. They're in this, almost the same situation we are. Well, I do see that 400 nationalists gathered in an officially approved rally across the street from the seat of the Russian government. Well, Putin, I guess, likes these people. He don't like the others. Supposedly, these people got together in other cities around Russia and marched for Russia for Russians. Well, if enough people are out there in many cities around the country, that could have some positive effect. If I'm not mistaken, they probably took them around and booked them and then kicked them in the ass and let them go. I don't know. I don't know everything's going on over there, and I don't intend to pretend I do. So, oh, here's another international story over in Greece. Greek authorities are looking for any possible racist motives in a three-man attack on an Iranian migrant invader in which his ear was bitten off. A justice source said today, the 34-year-old victim, identified only as Said, says he was assaulted by three dark-clothed men in October while in a run-down Athens neighborhood. Quote, I was walking on the street and talking on the phone when three men dressed in black attacked me. They hit me, unquote. The Iranian told Greek branch of Doctors of the World in a video posted online. One of them, quote, one of them put me in a headlock and severed my ear with his teeth, he added. Street attacks on migrant invaders spiked in 2012 following the election to Parliament of Golden Dawn, a neo-Nazi party pledging to rid the country of hundreds of thousands of illegal residents. Well, they're illegal. They need to be taken out of the country. And if the government doesn't do it, well, it's the duty of the people. However, the trend abated after a Greek musician was fatally stabbed by a neo-Nazi supporter. I bet he wasn't even a member of the Golden Dawn last year, prompting a crackdown that has put a third of the party's 18 lawmakers behind bars. Because a party supporter stabbed somebody, a Greek musician? That's really weird. That's really stretching it. That's what the ruling class uses as an excuse to get people out of contention. Quit screwing with our game here, boys. We're making lots of money here. We're screwing the working class here in Greece. And we don't want any interference. Well, we've got an interesting development down in Texas. A lot of interesting developments happen in Texas. David Barton has officially endorsed Barry Smitherman, current chairman of the Texas Railroad Commission, to be the next Attorney General of Texas. Smitherman, among many other extremist views, is an advocate of secession. He's also defended a white supremacist group founded by a neo-Nazi and objected to them being labeled a hate group. There simply is no such thing as a fringe conservatism anymore. There is no limit to how loathsome, racist, or extremist you can be and still be welcomed as part of the Republican coalition. I think this might have been put out by a progressive. But it is interesting how it seems battle lines are forming all over the place. Battle lines are forming. Tick, 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 tick. Well, I guess they found the world's most dirty man. 80-year-old Iranian hasn't bathed in 60 years. I think this is down in Australia. I told you how they're going to try to drive this damn Pacific trade agreement through, put it on the fast track and all that, and nobody's answering the phones and are giving me crap. Well, I got an answer from my U.S. Republican senator, Republicrat. Dear Tom, thank you for contacting me regarding the United States participation in the Trans-Pacific Partnership Free Trade Agreement negotiations. I appreciate the opportunity to respond to your concerns. Aha. Anytime somebody puts a label of free or liberty or all that kind of stuff on any kind of law, you know you're getting screwed. I support international trade as a way to bolster our economy and build up the economies of America's trading partners. Well, that's why you helped ship factories, thousands, tens of thousands of factories out of this country, because you're more for international trade than you are the United States working class. Trading alliances also foster the international trust and familiarity that underlies national security while opening the door for other partnerships. It's the biggest bunch of bullshit I've read in a long time. The Trans-Pacific Partnership is particularly important to maintaining America's interest in a region increasingly dominated by China. You always have to have a fall guy, don't you? Blame it on China. Without strong regional partners from across the Pacific Rim, the United States is handicapped diplomatically and economically. When have we ever been handicapped? We got the biggest military in the world. The TPP negotiations are still underway, but I'm closely monitoring the negotiations and their potential impact. Should negotiators eventually reach an agreement, I will be sure to keep your views in mind when the agreement comes before the Senate for approval. Yeah, I bet you. Yeah, right. Oh, God, these guys. Thank you again for contacting me, and please do not hesitate to do so in the future on other matters of importance to you. Sincerely, Dan Coats, United States Senator. He's a total party Republican hack servant of the ruling class. Yeah. I won't even respond to him. It's a waste of time. I'll tell you what's better than having a parade all the time. You get 100 people, 200 people, and when these guys come home from Washington on their holiday, like Coates or anybody else, be there when they get off the plane or off the train or whatever they're on, and raise hell. Give them hell. That's what they need. Absolutely. Well, if the Hollywood Nazis or anybody else wants to get into the act, here's the way to get the media. About a year ago, on a cold, nearly sub-zero day in January, this writer visited Greg Kofeldt's auto repair shop in New Jersey to inspect and report on an unusual object that had come into his possession: Hitler's toilet. The toilet, which was taken off Hitler's yacht when the ship was scrapped after the war, has been in Greg's garage since he bought the place. It remains a year later one of the strangest stories I have ever written. Earlier this week, word of Kofeldt's infamous toilet began circulating on the web. Again, papers were reporting that the toilet was for sale. I called Kofeldt, and he confessed he had no idea what was going on. Quote, "I've never actually looked for a buyer," unquote, he said. Quote, "It's not openly for sale, but if someone offers me a good sum of money, I'm not going to say no," unquote. In short, the toilet is not at auction at an auction house or at an appraiser's office or on a website. It is not for sale, but it isn't off the market. When I asked Kofeldt if he would donate it to the Smithsonian or to the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum, he responded, "Immediately. Absolutely." But let us imagine for a minute that the newspapers were right and that toilet is for sale. What would that even look like? Would it be on Craigslist? Fuhrer toilet for sale? Show signs of use but still in working order? Manufactured in Germany? Original owner had a German Shepherd, but it had been stored in a pet-free environment since the 40s? Ho, 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 ho. Kofeldt told me, just as he did last year, that nobody's ever made him an offer. Come on, boys. I'd make him an offer. It is a fact I find hard to believe. American troops in Germany during the war, when Nazi memorabilia was in abundance, were known for bringing all manner of souvenirs back, from the easily concealed Lugers and armbands to the larger, more conspicuous items like flags. Wouldn't Hitler's toilet be the ultimate Nazi souvenir, rare even in the 40s? And a treasure by today's standards, 70 years after the war's end, and as the last Nazi officers die on their own. You know, I remember when I was a kid, and my uncle, who had fought in the Battle of the Bulge and all that kind of stuff, and got 6 Purple Hearts, stored some of his stuff at my grandmother's house up in the attic. And I got up in the attic, and he had a whole pile of German souvenirs up there. And, of course, I don't know what ever happened to him. I was just a little kid, about 3, 4, 5 years old. But I remember playing up there and seeing all of them, from daggers and belts and so forth. Yeah. Kofeldt told me, just as he did last year, well, wait a minute. Perhaps nobody wants to buy it because it's not the sort of flashy artifact you can hang on the mantelpiece. You never know. I might be able to do that. Or a thing you can impress guests with. I could impress a lot of people. I could charge admission, come in and see Hitler's toilet. Fun fact, Tim, that toilet you used in the bathroom down the hall, Hitler used it. Perhaps it's because of the item itself presents a dilemma. Do you leave it as is on display like Greek pottery, or do you install it and use it like a toilet? Well, I would use it. Kornfeld had taken a fascinating and novel approach using the toilet, not as Hitler's toilet, but simply his garage toilet. In fact, perhaps it's ultimately for this reason that nobody has made an offer. By making an offer, it becomes more than a toilet. It takes on again the title of Hitler's toilet. And in that case, it's impossible not to put it on display without seeming a Hitler fanatic. Well, no, you can just be interested in the History Channel. And impossible to use it without feeling a little bit like Hitler. Wow, wouldn't that be something? The power of Hitler at his peak. The little DNA is probably still on that toilet seat, man. Maybe you could, maybe it would transfer over to your ass and you'd become as brilliant as he was in a lot of ways. I don't know. What do you think? Should we buy this damn thing? You guys out there? Well, I'm going to have my stray dog go over there and look at that toilet. Maybe he will sell it to stray dog. I'll bet you anything we can put that toilet on a flatbed and go around the country and collect money for looking at it, you know? And a hell of a lot more money for using it. We get old Jeff Shope's National Socialist Movement people down there. They'd be wanting to poop all over that thing. Here's one that may have slipped through the cracks. The rising trend of illegal Negro infiltrators leaving Israel and going back home continued in early January, when their numbers were whittled down by another 250 who left voluntarily despite a protest campaign to convince the world that they had no place to go. Last year, slightly more than 2,600 illegal Negroes left Israel voluntarily. If the January rate continues, the number this year will be around 6,000. They're denegroizing Israel. One incentive for those to leave voluntarily is, ding, 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 a $3,500 stipend from the government. And I wonder where they got that $3,500 from. I'll bet they got it from money we gave them. They're giving every nigger that leaves Israel $3,500. Wow. Oh, some of those New York blacks ought to go run over there and pretend they just came into the country or something. The protest movement, encouraged by leftist and foreign activists, will take its campaign next week to the Israeli embassies to draw media attention to the claim that they are refugee niggers. Israel is examining the status of tens of nearly 50,000 illegal Negro infiltrators. Hey, they're starting to use infiltrators too. They must have got that from me. And those who are deemed as refugees will be able to remain in Israel. Most of those checked so far were determined to have left their countries to seek a higher standard of living in Israel. Well, of course, almost any country in Israel, or I mean in Africa, would be a third world state, and a country that we poured all this money into, like Israel, of course they're looking for a higher standing of living. Well, don't worry. They can go to the U.S. State Department and they'll bring them over here and set them up. Sure they will, like they always do. Yeah. Oh, I'll bet you missed this one too. News and Views. President Obama nominated Stanley Fischer, F-I-S-C-H-E-R, the former governor of the Bank of Israel, to be vice chairman of the Federal Reserve. The Friday nomination comes the same week that the Senate confirmed Janet Yellen as Federal Reserve's chairwoman, the third Jewish person to hold the post in succession following Bernanke and Alan Greenspan. Oh, man. Well, if you haven't heard Fresh Air on PBS Radio today, you should get a hold of it. It's an author of a book called The Civil Rights Movement and the Downfall of the Klan. And it's very interesting of how propaganda is controlled by these people. Now, all through this thing, it's talking about the Klan and others, even J. Edgar Hoover, inferring about the Jews. The Klan said it straight out, which was the truth. The Jews were very much in control of the civil rights movement. They don't bring out that even the NAACP was headed up by, I believe it was Spingard or Kibbe Kaplan, or maybe he was the head of the ADL. But anyhow, the Jews actually were in the leadership of the NAACP. And yet these people totally gloss over that. They totally gloss over the fact that it was a prime program of the Soviet Union to use race mixing as a weapon. They openly admitted it. I mean, it's not a secret. But yet this program, they didn't say anything about that. It was just the Klan didn't like the Jews. Well, I listened to Communist Party members myself personally, Julia Brown and Leonard Patterson, who were black, that had left the Communist Party, and they told me right to my face that the Communists were involved. Their major program was the civil rights movement and the agitation among the blacks. So it's so slick how these public radio and people like that, and they are so smooth and slick to talk like, oh, well, they were just anti-Jew and nobody can quite figure out why. And just totally slide over history. How can young people of another generation know the truth one way or another, where it's just totally obfuscated? But anyhow, I'm going to download that. Maybe I'll play it tomorrow. But you can get it today. But just go up to the internet and go on to the PBS Fresh Air program with this Madam Tel Aviv, the announcer for the show, the interviewer of this clown. And I'll bet he's a Jew that wrote the book. And he talks about my good friend Robert Shelton, and good old boy. I like Robert Shelton. He met him personally a couple of times, and they were bemoaning the fact that he would give a speech and he'd spend maybe 2 minutes about the blacks and the rest of the time it'd be on the Jews. Well, and communism and Jews, because communism is Jewish or was Jewish. Not that they're not big time into capitalists too, because that's the way the Jews play the game. Part of them go one way, part of them go the other way, and they meet in the middle, man. I always get amused at people who say, well, how can the communists be the heads of the banks and all this kind of stuff and be heads of the communism too? Well, it's simple. The predatory capitalists have always used things like this to divide the people up and kill off competition and all that. I mean, they took the entire population of Russia out of competition in the Cold War. And that was no accident. That was no accident. So, you know this, that the capitalist bankers totally bankrolled the Bolsheviks. And we have the, you know, have the books in the library here. One of the best was Red Fog Over America by Commander Guy Clark, was it? I'm trying to remember. Let me look out here in my library a second. I remember I had to stand up and get my brain working. It was Commander Guy Carr, Red Fog Over America, and then another great book, which I do have in my library around this. You know, I've got probably close to 1,000 books around here, or at least several hundred, and I had even more than that before I left California that I got rid of. A lot of the really non-essential ones, but I kept all my research books. But anyhow, that was detailed in many books about how the Bolsheviks were financed by the capitalist pig bankers. And the same thing happens today. All the predatory capitalist corporations, they back whoever makes them a lot of money. Back then, they were a little different. Now, they really, any little group that can make them money or they can get into a country and rob the people blind, they do. And they're even worse today than they were before. You know, I mean, attorneys all over L.A. court building knew about, you know, about the Jews and all that kind of stuff. Everywhere you go behind the scenes, they know about the Jews. They just don't talk about it. They're afraid of them. Well, in a way, they're correct because they can ruin their career. You can't ruin my career. I don't think I ever had a career. So it's pretty hard to ruin my career. And since I'm not sensitive to having lots of ass-kissing friends all around me all the time, that doesn't bother me. I'm not trying to borrow any money, so they can't get at me that way. I don't have a lot of money, and they can't get at me that way. I guess the only way they could possibly get at me is to kill my ass. But I think that they feel right now that's a little bit too much trouble. They'd like to see me screw up in my personal life, you know, instead of being a family man with 6 kids and 9 grandkids, and everybody's doing pretty well, with very few gripes, other than the same gripes everybody else has got, and running my own business for years, and not really having any problems. Well, that's why Morris Dees wanted to take a swing at me. He said, "This son of a bitch is squeaky clean. He's a Teflon Tom." Well, anyhow, I'm about as Teflon Tom as you can get. I tell these guys on the right that sometimes they're saying, taking nasty pot shots at me. I said, "Well, if you got the evidence, goddammit, come out and lay it out. If you can prove I've done something terrible to white people or anybody, tell me about it. But you got to have evidence. You can't just come out and say, well, I think this and I think that." One that somebody sent me a copy of this morning on the internet where it said, "Tom Metzger thrust the dagger deep into the back of Craig Cobb." Well, that's not true at all. Of course it's not true. I was honest, and I criticized his methods. I still criticize the method, but I'm not against him. I'm doing what I can for him, and because he can be salvaged. He's a very intelligent guy, and I want to get him back on track. But to say, oh, because Metzger didn't buy into the plan, that he plunged a dagger into the back of poor Craig Cobb. Well, I asked him, how much money have you sent Craig Cobb? How many books have you sent Craig Cobb? How many attorneys have you talked to about Craig Cobb and Keenan? Tell me about it. Yeah, right. You know, I watch and listen to a lot of RT, Russia Today. I'm not saying everything on there is great and wonderful, but it's sure a hell of a lot better than what I get off regular TV. And one of my favorites is Max Kaiser, because he really goes after him on the economic situation. And the other one is where they have the debate and they have 4 or 5 different people on different sides. Peter Lavelle, I believe is his name. I like that one too. And there's a couple of more on there I like, too. But I sure enjoy them much more than I do. One thing I don't like, I don't care for Tom Harmon. not because he's a progressive or liberal type, but because he's, when he interviews people, he walks all over them, interferes with them, interrupts them, and that just turns me off when a moderator does that. So let's see what old Kaiser's up to today. See what he's, who in hell he's giving hell today.
Welcome to the Kaiser Report. I'm Max Kaiser. A pimp in Oregon is suing Nike for $100 million, claiming that the company failed to include a warning on its Air Jordan sneakers that they could be used as dangerous weapons after he used his own pair to beat a man. In other pimp news from the Pacific Northwest, Bill Gates continues to pimp out your privacy and data to the NSA and any other fakakta spy agency willing to give him a few bucks. But rather than use a sneaker, this pimp deploys this company's software and products, including Skype, as a dangerous weapon against the constitutional rights of unsuspecting customers of the pimp's products. Will Pimp Gates sue himself when he gets caught? Interesting existential question, Stacey Herbert.
Max, it appears we're flat-backing for Bill Gates, and he's not even paying us for it.
Well, isn't that the truth? Ever since he was, what, twice convicted predatory monopolist, it's all about Bill.
Bill, Bill, Bill. Well, I thought of this when I saw somebody tweet out this photo of Chris Hedges. Chris Hedges says, "We must either defy the corporate state or accept our extinction as a species. We have been stripped of the power to express dissent or affect change. Rebellion is the only way to remain fully human." Now, in that context, I was shocked to see on the front page, this is a later edition, so it was in the back page, but on the front page of the Sunday Times, they had Gates tops world popularity poll. He was voted by people of the world the most admired person in the world.
People tend to fall in love with their oppressors.
It's the Stockholm Syndrome.
It's the Stockholm Syndrome. And he has created a virtual prison with his buggy products. And it's a monopoly position that he uses to fund his enterprise, which include now in bed with other intellectual property whores like Monsanto.
Well, as Chris Hedges says, rebellion is the only way to remain human. But we have the Redmond Syndrome, I would say. They're up in Redmond, Washington, Microsoft. And we appear, most people seemed quite happy to, remember when Microsoft products had, they had 97% of the desktop, that's being broken up a bit with Apple and Macintosh, but most people still use Internet Explorer and all their, the services and software he sells, and it's always been buggy. Now that was always like a famous feature of Microsoft products, and that's why people moved to Apple, because it didn't have those features. But now, only now have we learned that it's because we're not human. We've been harvested. We're being harvested for our privacy and our data for these corporations that the NSA works for.
Yeah, it's true that Apple's cut into the business and Google's Android, et cetera. But I think really the true challenge was open source and Linux, which was an open source platform where engineers got together to react to Bill Gates' monopoly, and they created something better called Linux and other open source software, similar the way in which programmers got together and decided, let's do something better than the central bank system, and they created Bitcoin. Look, in the Constitution, in the Declaration of Independence, there's this phrase, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And what is the pursuit of happiness? In many ways, it's the freedom to be free from fear. And guys like Bill Gates have taken that away from Americans and taken it away from people around the world. They no longer enjoy a life free from fear because of the unbelievably corrupt products Bill Gates and Microsoft Corporation have foisted onto the world, which takes away people's basic right to be free from fear.
Well, they have a reason not to be free from fear, because they are actually less secure. Now, I see over and over on my Facebook page and Twitter, people are happy that the National Security Agency, the NSA, is spying on them, because they claim that it makes them feel safer. And yet, the fact is, all of the evidence proves that they're actually less safe. Let's look at some headlines regarding that. American and British spy agencies have intentionally weakened security for many decades. We are still now having an encryption that is about 1,000 times weaker than originally planned. So our encryption across the internet is 1,000 times weaker than originally planned because the NSA and GCHQ just cannot find the talent that is good enough to spy without having back doors. They need the back door open because they're lame spies.
We have to decode some of the phrases you hear from people who say they want to feel safer. You have to decode that and understand what people are actually saying is they want to be dependent on the government more because they're lazy. And the result is obvious because of, you just look at it, the average American, for example, they're obviously, it's the product of laziness, the fact that they've gotten into a state of being where they are obese and stupid. That's the result of laziness, not they don't feel more secure. So let's be clear about what they're really saying.
Well, I think also if you're, you know, as Chris Hedges said, to be more human, you need to rebel against this. But I think, in a way, because the corporations have so atomized us and made us like just anonymous cogs in this big machine, in a way, I think a lot of people feel quite more human, that there's somebody out there who cares to observe them through this little, you know, camera on my my iPad. They think, well, gee, somebody cares to look at me. Look what I'm doing. I'm drinking a cup of coffee, as one would often tweet.
You know, when the Allied forces liberated the concentration camp of Auschwitz, one of the comments that the prisoners made was that not only were they starving from food, lack of food.
Stay on track, Max. Stay out of the concentration camp, for Christ's sake.
So when people say we love, and when he acknowledges us, we feel as though we're being hugged by Bill digitally, it's an indication they live in an Auschwitz-type environment, a digital Auschwitz that Bill Gates built for them, and they're dying.
So you have, as the New Scientist points out, as this article refers to, a New Scientist quote, the internet is full of holes. The spy agencies in the U.S. and U.K. have forced technology suppliers to deliberately weaken security measures in the online computing systems that everyone uses. As a result, they may have compromised everybody's security, since the vulnerabilities can be exploited by anybody who discovers them. So while there are many people who are very lonely out there and might like to be watched by some anonymous person, that anonymous person can be anybody now because the NSA and GCHQ are not good enough to hack on their own and they need the door left wide open for them. You know, anybody could walk in the back door. Anybody can come in. It could be Charles Manson sitting in his high security prison out in California. He could be sitting there leering at you. Maybe you might like that, but most people don't.
Well, let's get back to the connection between surveillance and obesity, because the surveillance technology, you say, could be surveilled by anyone. They're not being surveilled by security looking for ways to keep people secure. They're selling the access to marketing corporations and big pharma and big agri and big consumer products companies who then spy on you in ways to help them sell you stuff, more trans fat foods, more junk food, more junk credit, everything to make you unhealthy, more drugs. Everything that makes you lazy, obese, and stupid, i.e. American, that's what they're in it for. And they're succeeded because you've got a jobless mass of obese troglodytes waddling around on their little tricycles in Walmart looking for new ways to help plumb the nether regions of their intestines because it's all clogged up thanks to Bill Gates and the 24/7 surveillance apparatus, which is meant to keep people the way that they are. Just look at the average Walmart shopper and throw up.
Well, you mentioned selling stuff, and of course this comes to this headline here. Yahoo malware turned European computers into Bitcoin slaves. Search firm remains silent on how its ad servers infected Windows PCs of visitors to homepage. So Windows PCs are the ones targeted in this because, of course, they're vulnerable. They have many backdoors. Bill Gates has left so many backdoors on all of his products, and all of these Windows manufacturers of computers have left many backdoors. They each have their own backdoor, so there's multiple backdoors open. This malware that Yahoo targeted ads towards their consumers in Europe, not in America. So it could be the NSA who is turning computers in Europe into Bitcoin slaves.
Well, Bitcoin is a Bill Gates slayer. Bitcoin is the NSA slayer. Bitcoin is a Janet Yellen and the Federal Reserve Bank slayer. And yes, of course, the pursuit of happiness will out. And it'll invade the faulty, buggy back doors of Yahoo and other internet giants to create Bitcoin mining operations to empower the people to resist. Bitcoin is the currency of resistance. I've said this for years, and it's so true.
Now, Marissa Mayer, the CEO of Yahoo, of course, said recently that the reason why she allowed the NSA to put all these back doors into their software was because this was a patriotic thing to do. And you see her silence, the company's refusal to say how this malware was even able to exploit Yahoo. So Yahoo has been criticized for not doing more to aid users infected by the faulty adverts. Dan Farber of technology site CNET says that, quote, at this point, Yahoo hasn't addressed any of the details, such as how the malware exploit got into its web pages, how many users are impacted, and what victims of the attack should do. The company may still be gathering data, and you may still be a Bitcoin slave. Now, this is the whole thing that has, we've all become slaves because of the NSA and all these exploits and backdoors.
Well, you said something, though, that's very interesting, is that the CEO of Yahoo, Marissa
Mayer,
silent.
Yeah.
Now that her product and her company has been violated, because she left the back door open for the NSA, which she claims was an act of patriotism.
Mm.
When any reading of any document, such as the U.S. Constitution, would identify this woman by leaving the back door open to the NSA as treasonous, number one. So she's a traitor, and of course, right across the way there is the Traitor's Gate to the Tower of London. That's where, if we were any justice were to prevail, she'd be carted up the frog march through those steps right now, because she is a traitor. And not only is she a traitor, but she's a stupid idiot, because now her total company has an existential threat, because she's allowed somebody to come in, the marauding army of Bitcoin, to put her out of her frickin' misery.
But again, we're bringing it back to the top of the show. The pimp got sentenced to 100 years for beating somebody with an Air Jordan. He said he didn't know who hitting somebody with an air, that it was a lethal weapon. We're saying that Bill Gates and Marissa Mayer are going to argue we didn't know our systems were being used to dangerously, violate the constitutional rights of the users of our products and our systems and our stuff.
Well, this is the problem with omniscience. When you have a 360-degree, 7-day, 24-hour surveillance on every possible person in the network, you can't, in one hand, say, we justify stealing your money, and on the same breath, say, we don't know what's going on. So not only are you lying kleptocrats, but you're treasonous lying kleptocrats, and that is the basis for an insurrection. All right, we got to go on that.
Well, other than that little trip down Auschwitz Lane, it was a good show. I know Wolf Wall Street says he's part Jewish. I never found, people say people are part this and part that. What part? Is it your leg? Is it your head? Is it your belly button? I mean, part. Which part? I look at it this way. I go looking for facts and truth where I can find it, like I keep telling you people. Now, if this guy's part Jew, then he's doing the Jews a very bad disservice as far as Jews in big leadership, because he's taking them on all the time. And the thing is, though, he takes on everybody that's a crook and a rat. And I respect that, so I'm going to keep old Max on here and play him for you once in a while. And if you got in your computer, you can go up there and download the shows. He usually puts out one or two a week. That's it for today. Let's see, is there anything else? Other than that Fresh Air program on PBS, which was nauseating, and at least they give honorable mention to my good friend Robert Shelton, who's passed away now. Even the Jews in their books and their magazines and their newspapers on television have bragged about how much they were involved in the civil rights movement. and back in Martin Luther King and all that. So to come on the radio and then gloss over it like, well, the Klan didn't like the Jews. But they didn't say why they didn't like the Jews. It was like the Jews didn't do anything. They're so squeaky clean. I sent you out something today, an article from the Jew paper in Israel, an article about the day the Jews, Israel married God. Talk about arrogance. I wonder how they would picture God anatomically if they got married. That would be one giant, what do they call it, a schwanz? Okay, that's it, 14-5. See you tomorrow on Saturn's Day. And that's I'm going to play you a song out there, you ladies. Yeah, and if you don't like my country singing, well, just turn it off now because here it comes. I only sang this song a couple of times, so you're going to have to give me a little slack. And in the beginning, there's a little glitch there, but I'm not going to do it again because I got other things to do.
Well, I pulled out of Pittsburgh, rolling on down at Eastern Seaboard. I got my diesel wound up. I got my diesel wound up.
Oh, wait a minute, I got to do that over. I've got a series of plugs and switches here, and sometimes I plug and switch the wrong one.
Well, I pulled out of Pittsburgh, rolling on down at Eastern Seaboard. I got my diesel wound up, and she's running like never before.
There's a steel man, all right.
I got me 10 Ford gears and a Georgia overdrive. I'm taking little white pills and my eyes are open wide. Well, it seems like a month since I kissed my baby goodbye. I can have a lot of women, but I'm not like some of the guys.
I can find a woman to hold me tight, but I can never make believe it's all right.
Well, the ITC is checking on down the line. I'm a little overweight, but my logbook's way behind. Well, my rig's a little old, but that don't mean she's slow. There's a flame from the stack, and I'm blowing out black as coal.
My hometown's staying black, and if you think I'm happy, all right. This ain't gonna roll, and I'm gonna make it home tonight. 6 days on the road, and I'm gonna make it home tonight. 6 days on the road, and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
Hey, baby, I'm on my way. I'm just outside of town. Get that beer opened up for me, will you?